My name is Maria Murnan, and I'm the author of Perfect on Paper. And I'm at the Book Expo kind of because my dream finally came true. It took a long time to get myself published, but it worked. And I originally had an agent, and I was turned down by several publishers, so then my agent fired me. And so then I decided to self-publish my book, which I did. And then I just did a lot of creative things to market the book in hopes of attracting the attention of a publisher. And it worked. And so this year I'm here with my publisher kind of speaking about that process and inspiring other authors just not to give up.
And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people get turned away from one or two agents maybe, or even publishing companies, and that will be it for them. What is it that made you keep going?
I don't know, maybe I'm a little crazy. I don't know, I just, there's a couple things. One was I really thought my book was good, and I knew my book was good, and I think if you believe in your heart that you have a book that should be on the shelves, that's one thing. And then second is I just had this dream of getting it published, and I felt like giving up wasn't really an option, and I just didn't want to, you know, I felt like I'd be letting myself down if I didn't do everything I possibly could to see it through and try to make it happen. And also the fact that I do have a kind of a creative background in marketing and public relations helped, because I'm kind of wired to think that way about getting products out, getting messages out. So I think if I'd come from maybe an accounting background, it would have been like a brick wall. But because of the way my brain works, I was able to sort of get out there on my own, and that's what worked.
And I want you to back up a little bit and tell me about what the project even that led to your book. It sounded like you took a little pause from your career, and you went through all sorts of things, and that kind of led to the book project. So talk me through that.
Yeah, I guess I like to say I took a break from real life to live life. I worked in public relations for a long time, and it got to the point where I absolutely hated my job, and I just didn't even want to go to bed at night because I didn't want to have to get up and go to work the next day. So I finally quit. And I didn't have any idea what I was going to do, like no idea. But I thought I would do a little bit of traveling, and I'd also never really traveled anywhere by myself. I'd spent a year in college in Spain and traveled all around Europe and stuff, but always with friends. So I thought, well, I'm going to take a trip by myself because none of my friends had any vacation and I didn't have a boyfriend or anything. So I thought, well, if I don't go by myself, no one's going to go with me. So since I hadn't really practiced my Spanish since college, I thought I would take a trip to Argentina. So I booked a ticket to spend 2.5 weeks down there, flying into Buenos Aires, and then making my way across Argentina and flying back up through Santiago, Chile. And I just loved it there so much that I decided that I didn't want to come back. And it was at that point that I realized that I needed a huge change in my life. So I decided to just stick around and if I could find something to do. And I did. I ended up signing with the women's soccer team at River Plate, which is like the biggest soccer club in South America. And it's like a women's arm of this men's professional team. So I guess you could call it semi-professional. I got paid a very little bit of money, but technically I was kind of professional. And when I was there, I decided I was going to finally write the novel that I'd kind of always dreamed about but never really had the time. So that's what happened.
Tell me about the novel.
The novel is it's a romantic comedy, and like I said, it's called Perfect on Paper. And it's just sort of a funny story about a woman whose life sounded kind of perfect on paper, and then it all kind of implodes, and her wedding gets called off, and she realizes that she's not a huge fan of this perfect job that she has, and she's just trying to navigate life. And it's a comedy. I mean, it sounds kind of sad at the beginning, but it's actually a comedy just about trying to make sense out of life and realizing that sometimes it's okay if things aren't perfect.
And how does that mirror or differ from your own life?
Well, I guess it's in a way it's kind of true. I mean, the main plot of this story is totally made up. I mean, this book starts off with this woman's wedding getting called off, and I've never been engaged, but a lot of the things that happen along the way, things that she realizes are things that I have realized in my own life. So yeah, I mean, I guess the way I had to sort of keep going, and I didn't have the picture perfect publishing deal that came out of nowhere for the first time author. You know, it didn't work out that way for me, but it wasn't perfect. But then I made it into something better because I've learned so much through this whole experience that I don't think I would actually trade it. Like if I could go back a few years ago and get a huge publishing contract, I don't know if I would want it, because I learned so much about myself and how to do it all on my own that I wouldn't have learned otherwise.
Okay, going back to the character, you said that this character in your book goes through some of the same issues that you've experienced. Give me a feel of some of those issues.
Well, I would say the number one is dating. This main character, once she has to deal with this breakup, she has to sort of get back into the dating world of San Francisco, which is not easy. And I've been through it, and a lot of my friends have been through it. So I took all of these experiences that I've been through and my friends have been through, and I was able to insert them into the book in various scenes. And I think that's why a lot of women and men too enjoy the book, because it has this sense of realism, because I lived these things and so did my friends. And so they might be kind of crazy, but they're not that far-fetched because we all went through them. So I was able to insert that in there. And then also there's just something about living in San Francisco. It's so beautiful, and there's so many things that are just so particular to San Francisco that I think are really funny and entertaining. And one of them, for example, is how it's so cold there, and no one ever knows that. And people think, oh, I'm going to move to San Francisco, it's going to be really, really hot, I'll go to the beach. And then they end up there and they're freezing. And so there's just funny things like that that are fun for people who live there because they know that. And then people who aren't from there, it's interesting because they get to learn a little bit about a place they've never been.
Great. And concretely, talk me through what you did to publish your book.
Well, I first went through the CreateSpace program that is owned by Amazon, and that was the self-publishing platform of it. And then that basically involves, there's several different things you have to do. You have to get the cover designed, you have to get the interior laid out, you have to get it copyrighted, you have to get an ISBN number, but the company will walk you through what you need to do. And the most important part is just to get the book in really professional format to be uploaded to their servers. And then once you do that, it's available for sale on Amazon.com and other online booksellers. And then from there, it's up to you to get the word out. So do you want me to talk a little bit about what I did to get the word out? So for me, one of the most important things I did is I knew that because I was self-published at first, I couldn't just do a traditional marketing campaign, which would involve sending my book to a lot of reviewers because they wouldn't take the time to look at a self-published book. So I knew I had to get sort of grassroots support from credible sources. And so I thought that a good way to do that would be to go to people who actually review a lot of books on Amazon itself, because that's what I do. If I hear about a book, I go to Amazon to check out the reviews. So I thought, well, I need to get people to write reviews on Amazon, and people who I'm not, you know, related to, like real people out there in the United States. So I implemented this campaign with the help of my dad, who was like my unpaid assistant. And what we did was we went to different reviewers who had reviewed a lot of books that were in the same category as mine, which would be humorous women's fiction or chick lit, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of these reviewers, they almost like professional reviewers on Amazon. They review hundreds of books, like over, you know, that's their thing. So we would contact them if they had their information available on Amazon and ask them if they wouldn't mind reviewing my book. So I got a lot of reviewers interested in my book because of that. And they started, you know, just talking about it. And then a lot of them started blogging about it. And then I realized there's all these book blogs. So I started sending my book to all these book bloggers, and then they started reviewing it and loving it. Then I started submitting my book for awards, and it won like 5 awards, which is pretty cool. And then I started doing more grassroots things, because once I had all these reviews on Amazon, I could go to other organizations, and then they would kind of look me up on Amazon and see that I was credible because I had all those reviews. So an example of one of those things that I did was I went to a bachelor auction in San Francisco that was hosted by this men's organization, and they auctioned off 25 men to like this crowd of like thousands of screaming women. It was pretty funny. These men were all like parading around there, and these women were bidding thousands of dollars to have dinner with them. So I donated a copy of my book to every winning gift bag, and then I included a letter about who I was and what I was doing in with the book. And then a lot of these women started emailing me to thank me, and so then I would ask them, you know, if they liked my book to write a review on Amazon. So then a lot of them started talking about it. Another creative thing I did was I walked around San Francisco and went into cute little stores where the target audience of my book would shop. So I didn't go to a bookstore, but I'd go to a cute boutique where they, you know, sold clothes and jewelry, and then I would ask the author or the owner if I could give her a copy of my book to read, and if she liked it, if she would want to sell it there. So I started getting different boutiques selling my book. Then I started going to book clubs and asking them if they would choose my book, women's social groups, see if they would choose my book. I did a lot of outreach to my sorority. In college, I was in Delta Gamma, so I started doing a lot of outreach to Delta Gamma alumni groups around the country. And then I realized that the chapters themselves wanted to hear me speak, because they have to fulfill all these programming requirements from people in the real world to come back and speak about their career. So I realized that was kind of an inspirational story to a lot of these college students. So I started doing a lot of speaking there. So it just kind of took on a life of its own, where I was just doing all of these things. And then the main character of the book, Waverly, people thought she was so funny that I kind of decided to build up a brand around her. So I gave her A Facebook profile. She actually has more friends than I do, which is kind of funny. And then I gave a Facebook page for the book. And then also Waverly has a Twitter account. Mm-hmm. And then one thing that I did that kind of tied it all together was, in the book, the main character, Waverly, comes up with this line of witty greeting cards for women, and they're called honey notes, and they appear all throughout the book. And they kind of reflect what's going on in her life. And an example of one of them is the front would say, "So he dumped you?" And then the inside would say, "Honey, he was ugly anyway." And so many women kept telling me that they love these honey notes that I thought, well, I've already got this Waverly character. Maybe I should launch this line of honey products. So I did. So I launched a website called Waverly's Honey Shop, where you can go and buy real honey notes. And then I asked all my readers what their favorite honey notes from the book were, and I chose 6 of them. So there's a pack of 6 available on the site. And then I also recently added honey teas. I'm wearing one right now. It's a honey tea. It's a quote from Waverly, and it says, "Is it worse to be fake or bitchy?" And then I have other honey teas on the site, as well as honey tote bags, and they all just have sort of cute sayings from Waverly. And you can also buy the book there. So now I've also become this sort of how to market a book expert, which is cool, because that allows me to go speak at MBA programs. I've spoken just at an MBA conference this last week. I just got invited to speak at a women's leadership conference at Harvard. So it's sort of like whatever you can do to get the word out is just go for it. That's my attitude.
And ultimately, your book ended up getting published later.
Yes. Yeah. About one year after I self-published my book, I had all these, reviews and all this stuff was going on, and I thought, okay, something's got to give here, And then before I actually decided to reapproach publishers, I got a call from a publisher, and it was the folks over at the Amazon Encore publishing house, which just recently launched, and they told me that they'd chosen my book out of thousands and thousands and thousands of self-published books, and they loved it, and they wanted to republish it with a new cover. So it just came out again a couple months ago.
Congratulations on that. The other two, just to keep within our small time frame here, two questions I have to ask you. The first one, the rhythm of change. What does this mean to you, and how does it apply to your life? The phrase, the rhythm of change.
The rhythm of change? I can't say I've ever even heard of that before. But that would say to me, the rhythm of change. It's funny because I used to be scared of change. I remember going to college and I was freaked out because I was like, everything's so new and different, and I hated change. And then I've realized over the years that change is actually a good thing, and maybe you got into the rhythm of accepting that change is good for you. And I think if you go too long without change, then you can stagnate and you just might not be as happy. So I would say maybe you need to get into the rhythm of change. That's what that would mean to me. Like I never really realized how much of a change I needed until I did quit that job and ended up in Argentina, and it changed my entire life. So yeah, I would say get into the rhythm of change, because then good things can happen.
What would your life look like had you not quit your job and you just kind of kept on going through it and maybe sleepwalking through your day because you weren't into it anymore?
Well, I would say on the surface, it would look perfect on paper, just like the title of my book. I would probably own a house by now. I don't know. I might be married. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I would probably own a house. I'd probably have a job that I hated, and I would have, a nice savings account, and I would be basically hating my life because I would be spending my life promoting other people's products and other people's dreams. Instead, I live in an apartment that I actually love, but I probably will be renting for the rest of my life. But I spend every day doing something that I really, really enjoy, and that's, you can't put a price tag on that. So.
And final question, until today, what would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned on your journey of life?
Oh gosh, I would say if you, in your gut, if you're passionate about something, if you know something is right or it isn't right, you have to follow that. I knew for a long time that public relations, at least on the agency side, what I was doing wasn't really what I wanted to be doing, but I was so stuck in the career ladder and just sort of, well, what else would I do, that I didn't listen to that. And I think I could have quit 5 years earlier, and who knows what would have happened. So I think you really have to listen to your heart. And I mean, that sounds so cliche, but it's so true. And these things, it's funny, I feel like I've learned that all these cliches are really true. Like, life is so short to be spending doing something that you don't like, So if you find something that really makes you happy, you just have to do it no matter what.
I also have to ask you one more question, even though I said that was the last one. So this is about dating, and you've alluded to the fact that you haven't been engaged and you're not married. I get it. I'm with you, sister. So what do you say to, sometimes I'll encounter women who feel really sorry for those of us who aren't yet married, and I think that's unfortunate, but I'm curious what your response is when people sort of have like a sympathetic, oh, really, you're not married, or they feel like they're not okay because they're not married. what advice would you give to women who encounter that situation?
Well, you know, it's funny because I would like to find someone and get married. You know, I wrote a romantic comedy, and but I also feel like I'd have to find like the perfect guy for me. And I think it would be too easy to just be with someone just to be with someone. And I would think that's really sad. So I'd rather be single and happy who I am than married to someone for the rest of my life who I'm not in love with just because I want to be married. I think that's a lot more sad.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just hope you will check out my book. It's called Perfect on Paper. You can buy it on Amazon. And my website is mariamernan.com. And then all the Honey Notes are available. You can just go to honeynote.com, and that's where all those products are. And if you like what you see, please send me an email because my contact information is on those sites, and I really, really love hearing from readers.
Thank you so much.